Heavenly Father, Lord, you are glorious. You are almighty. You are powerful. You are great. Your name is above every name, and at your name every knee will bow and every tongue confess that you are Lord. Father, I pray that you would be with me as I speak. Give me clarity of mind. Be with my words. And I pray, Lord, that you would be also with the hearers here, that we would both speak and receive your word as worship. Thank you for this time, Lord. Thank you for the privilege to be able to share your word. Pray these things in Jesus' name. All right, so the title of this sermon is The Source of Blessing, and that's it's Ephesians 1:3. So if you turn in your Bibles to Ephesians 1:3, part of the verses will be on the slides, and then I'll ask you to turn to some other passages as we go. So let's move to the next slide. I have three main reflections. God is blessed. God is the sufficient source of blessing. And there I have five observations, and God is to be blessed. So three reflections: God is blessed, God is the sufficient source of blessing, and God is to be blessed. The first reflection, actually before we do that, let's go to the next slide. Let's look at the passage together. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. And my first reflection is that God is blessed. I want to explain something to you. If you can go to the next slide. So I want to explain something to you. God doesn't need you. He doesn't need me. God doesn't need anyone to bless him. God is blessed. Blessed is God. What does it mean for God to be blessed? The term blessed here is an adjective. An adjective describes a noun, a person, a place, a thing. God is the noun here. The adjective blessed is describing something about the noun, God. God is blessed. Verse 3 literally reads, the blessed God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Some of your translations have the word be in italics to show this. In one sense, I believe, Paul is describing God. He describes that God is blessed. He is the blessed God. What does blessed mean? It literally means to be spoken well of, praised. God is blessed, praised, exalted, worthy of praise. Brothers and sisters, God is worthy to be spoken well of and praised, whether or not we speak well of him or praise him. He doesn't need us. He doesn't need Paul. God exists as glorious. This then has the connotation theologians call God's aseity. Matthew Barrett, in his book None Greater, defines aseity as God is not a needy God. God is not dependent on the world for his existence, nor is he dependent on the world for his happiness and self-fulfillment. Instead, he possesses life in and of himself. More precisely, he is the fullness of life in and of himself. The aseity of God means that God is self-existent. He doesn't need you or anyone else for his existence. God is self-sufficient. He doesn't need you or your praise to be sufficient or complete. God is self-content. He doesn't need you or anyone or anything else to be satisfied or joyful in himself. God's presence is fullness of joy. At his right hand are pleasures forevermore. Psalm 16:11. God is independent. He is not dependent on you, on Paul, on me, on anyone. He is self-exalting. He doesn't need you or me or anything to exalt him. Psalm 138:2, for you have exalted above all things your name and your word. He is self-giving. God gives himself glory. He doesn't need you to give him glory. He is not a needy God. in need of any praise from anyone. When we think about the supremacy and blessedness of God, we are nothing. How can we speak adequately of the God who is unlike us? Even our own words, which we use to describe God, fall short of who he really is. We can never fully describe him with good words or praise, or his infinite or matchless worth. We could never fully describe him. He is incomprehensibly beautiful and glorious and wise and powerful and loving. His essence and his thoughts are unsearchable. God is not like us. He doesn't think like us. As Anselm famously said, God is something than whom none greater can be conceived. His ways are beyond finding out. His ways are above any scrutiny. He dwells in unapproachable light. He is more glorious than tongue can describe. But how can we speak well enough about God to do him justice? Brothers and sisters, stop to consider that God doesn't need your ministry. He doesn't need your labors. God doesn't need your sacrifices. He doesn't need you. God can choose to work through you. He can do anything he wants to without you. Stand in awe of him. Depend on him for everything. God is blessed. Now, the second reflection is that God is the sufficient source of blessing. Look with me again at verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Now, in most of your Bibles, the same root word is repeated three times. Blessed, blessed, blessing. Paul intentionally uses this word. The word is meant to sound out to us in English, as well as in the original language. So if we strip the sentence down, it reads, "The blessed God blessed us with blessing." So observation one here, God is the fount of every blessing. Not because God needs us, God's goodness and beauty and blessedness flow out of him and from him over to us. We receive from his goodness and blessedness. Now, David Hart states that God is the one who donates everything we are to us out of his infinite plenitude of being, consciousness, and bliss. But we're not worthy to be blessed. We have broken his law and rebelled and insulted him. And there are no reasons that he should bless us. In fact, the term blessing is loaded with Old Testament connotations. The opposite of blessing is what? Curses. The Old Testament juxtaposes blessings and curses, and they're often spoken side by side. The law promised blessings for obedience and curses for disobedience. Notice that our text does not say the blessed God has cursed us with cursing. If it did, God would still be blessed. If the blessed God did curse us, we would deserve it. In fact, we've broken every one of his laws. I'll say it again. We haven't loved him as we ought. We haven't obeyed God to deserve his spiritual blessings. Now, flip in your Bibles with me to Deuteronomy 28, 1 through 10. All right, Deuteronomy 28, 1 through 10. Now it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commandments which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high, that the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. Blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the country. Blessed shall you be the fruit of your body, the produce of your ground, and the increase of your herds, the increase of your cattle, and the offspring of your flocks. Blessed shall your basket shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. The Lord will cause your enemies who rise against you to be defeated before your face. They shall come out against you one way and flee before you seven ways. The Lord will command the blessing on you and your storehouses and in all to which you set your hand, and he will bless you in the land which the Lord your God is giving you. The Lord will establish you as a holy people to himself, just as he has sworn to you. If you keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in his ways, then all the peoples of the earth shall see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of you. Now, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God to observe all his commandments, then these blessings will come upon you. Observing all of God's commands brings blessing. Now, in Deuteronomy 28:15-68 and 29:14-29, God speaks of the curses that will come to pass for disobedience to God's commands. Look with me at verse 15 through 20 of the same chapter. Verse 15 through 20. But it shall come to pass, if you do not obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commandments and his statutes, which I command you today, that all these curses will come upon you and overtake you. Cursed shall you be in the city, and cursed shall you be in the country. Cursed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Cursed shall be the fruit of your body and the produce of your land, the increase of your cattle and the offspring of your flocks. Cursed shall you be when you come in, and cursed shall you be when you go out. The Lord will send on you cursing, confusion, and rebuke in all that you set your hand to do, until you are destroyed and until you perish quickly, because of the wickedness of your doings in which you have forsaken me. So if you just look a little bit ahead also to verse 45, moreover, all these curses shall come upon you and pursue and overtake you until you are destroyed, because you did not obey the voice of the Lord your God to keep his commandments and his statutes which he commanded you. So disobedience to God's law brings a curse. That is, it's not some superstitious bad luck. The curse of God means wrath and judgment. Brothers and sisters, when the Bible talks about blessings, think of it in terms of blessings and curses. Blessings are the opposite of curses. Do you see your hopeless state? Turn with me now to Ephesians 2, 1 through 3. And you, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. There was nothing good you brought to God. You were wallowing in the filth and mud of your own deadness and sin and deception. You rebelled against God. You were evil and wicked. Let me say that again. You were evil and wicked. And you were storing up wrath on the day of God's righteous judgment. You were storing up his curses. Brothers and sisters, the blessed God has blessed us with blessing. Not because of us. Where do you see yourself in this weighty sentence? We are utterly dependent on God, and we're in desperate need of his blessing. And not just for our initial acceptance by God, we're in utter need of his constant blessing. From the first moment God speaks grace to you until you praise his grace in eternity, our whole being is contingent upon his blessing. Everything that sustains us forever is his blessing. Now look back with me at Ephesians 2. Let's go through verses 4 through 10. But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. God is the one who initiated. God is the one rich in mercy because of the love with which he loved. God made us alive together with Christ and raised us up and made us sit together with him in the heavenly places. Is there anything we did here? Absolutely not. It is the blessed God alone who blessed us with blessing. God blessed us with infinite, independent resources and ocean of blessedness. Observation 2, the triune God's blessings. We are blessed because God, in his blessed triunity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, chose to bless us in Christ. Our holy triune God, in complete harmony, chose to extend blessing to us in eternity past. The blessed Holy Trinity planned it before the world began. Notice, in our text, the Father's work, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us. God the Father purposed and initiated to bless us in perfect harmony with God the Son and God the Holy Spirit. Notice the Son's work, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ's work has made him our Father, even as he was his Father. God the Son readily accepted the task to carry out our reconciliation. Notice the words, in Christ, at the end of verse 3 in chapter 1. Jesus did this through his condescension, incarnation, incarnate life, incarnate death, incarnate resurrection, and ascension. Notice also the Holy Spirit's work. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing, every blessing of the Spirit. God the Holy Spirit readily agreed to apply to us the blessings of the Holy Trinity. Throughout Paul's letter here, we see that the Holy Spirit seals us, indwells us, teaches us, empowers us, unites us, helps us, comforts us, convicts us. Also notice the personal wording of our triune God. Notice the personal pronouns. Notice the word our in verse 2. Grace to you and peace from God our Father. And the word our in verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Notice the us in verse 3. Who blessed us with every spiritual blessing. Do you see the amazing condescension here? That the God of the universe would call us his own, that he would stoop down and let us call him ours, that he would condescend to give of himself, that we would be included in the fellowship of the Trinity. The world cannot say that. The world does not know our God like we do. The most amazing thing about God's blessing is that he gives us himself. Remember I mentioned God's aseity, that God is self-giving? Scott Horrell says, put another way, creation and salvation begin and end with God's self-givingness, both internally, each to the other within the Godhead, and externally, the triune God to all creation. And so, in the most profound sense as Trinity, and finally only as Trinity, God is love. Do you see the wonder of our triune God? Do you see that our triune God has given himself? Observation 3. Look with me at the extent of God's blessings. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. There are no designated spiritual blessings that God does not withhold from us. He has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. God holds no benefit from us in Christ. He hasn't promised you money or cars or fame or marriage or children or comfort, ease or houses or anything else in this life. These blessings are spiritual, from the Spirit, from heaven, not earthly. The health, wealth, and prosperity gospel is a lie. You see, God's blessings explained after verse 3. God has blessed you with, in verse 4, God has blessed you with the reflection of his character and holiness. Verse 5, he's blessed you with adoption. Verse 6, with acceptance. Verse 7, redemption through blood, which is forgiveness of sins. Verse 10, reconciliation. Verse 11, inheritance of heaven. Verse 13 and 14, the Holy Spirit. God has given you everything you need for life and godliness. 2 Peter 1:3. Brothers and sisters, if you belong to Christ, you have everything you need. No exceptions. We need to confidently live in light of what he has supplied to us. We really need to cease from asking God for what he already gave us. Let's say a parent says or buys a new pair of shoes and places them on his son with great love. And the son looks up and says, Daddy, please give me new shoes. And the father looks down and says, Here you are, my son, your new shoes, freshly purchased and right on your feet. And the child responds, Daddy, I beg you, please give me the shoes that I need. May God help us to trust the Lord for what he has already done. May God help me. May God help us to praise him and thank him instead of complaining about what we're already lack or what we lack, instead of asking for what he has already given us. You and I have everything we need for the Christian life. Are my prayers filled with more praise and thanksgivings or more petitions and complaints? Brothers and sisters, this ought not to be so. Our prayers should be filled more with praise and adoration for who God is and what he has already given us. Observation 4. Look with me at the location of these blessings. Where do these blessings occur? In the heavenly places. In the unseen realm. In the more real realm. Not the less real realm. In Christ's kingdom, where Christ is king even now. We live in Christ's kingdom. If you travel to Europe as an American citizen, you don't forfeit your citizenship. You are still a citizen of the United States and still retain all the privileges of being an American citizen. You don't forfeit them. In fact, our government, weakened and secularized and unfaithful as it is, still remains an advocate for you in another country. Think, how much more does the King of Kings, King Jesus, who sits on the throne, advocate and protect you in this life? Nothing can happen to you in this life without the Lord Jesus' consent. Brothers and sisters, yes, you're a sojourner, but you're a citizen of heaven. You have all the rights and privileges of the kingdom, which does not fade. God has given you this living hope, not a dead hope, through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. You who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. 1 Peter 1:3-5. Yes, your foes are great. Your enemies are strong. You won't be left unscathed. But your king is greater than your foes. He will sustain you and give you power for the journey until you go home to be with him. He will fight for you. He already supplies you with every spiritual blessing. In fact, if you go to Europe and you have a passport which guarantees your citizenship, and the government of Europe has no authority to revoke it, your citizenship does not belong to any European country. You too, brothers and sisters, belong to Christ, who has given you a guarantee of your citizenship in the Holy Spirit. Don't you already experience his comfort in your heart, his witness that you belong to God, his conviction? You are already able to experience that down payment. The Holy Spirit guarantees all of your privileges as citizens in Christ's kingdom. He guarantees all of your blessings, union, promises, gifts, graces, and heaven. And you cannot lose it. And these things cannot be forfeited. Observation 5. The sufficiency of our blessing. We are blessed in Christ. Christ is the sufficient means of our salvation. Our triune God chose that the blessings would come to us in Christ. God blesses us in Christ. Blessings come to us only in Jesus and through Jesus. What does it mean to be in Jesus? It means to be accepted by the Father because of who he is and what he has done. The creature and the creator, the creature and the all-perfect, all-sufficient, all-glorious, most blessed, eternal, holy, triune, lovely, loving, perfect, joyful, marvelous being. Do you see the utter sufficiency in Christ? You're not blessed because you're in science. You're not blessed because you're in good works or in academia or in woodworking. God doesn't say that we are blessed because we are both in Christ and good works, or both in Christ and Moses. God blesses us because we are in Christ alone. We are a people in Christ. Now the third reflection is God is to be blessed. In describing God as the blessed God, or saying blessed is God, blessed be God, Paul is also praising God. He's worshiping God. He's declaring that God is lifted high. He's saying, God, you are good. God, you are glorious. He's declaring that God is to be blessed. God is worthy to be blessed. God is to be blessed and thanked. As I mentioned before, is there anything we did here? Absolutely not. It is God alone who blessed us with every blessing. Is there anything we can add to God now or ever? The God who is self-sufficient, self-existent, self-content, self-glorifying, independent, and self-giving. He is glorious whether or not we bless his name. And yet, why does Paul bless God? Why does Paul invite us to bless God with him when he says, "Blessed be God who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing"? Does the all-sufficient, blessed God condescend to receive our praise? Yes. Thomas Goodwin says, God gives us leave to bless him. Yes, God loves your good word, that is, to be spoken well by you, rejoiceth in your well wishes, and to hear from you expressions of rejoicings in his own independent blessedness. Though God hath an infinite ocean of all blessedness to which we can add nothing, who is therefore entitled by way of eminency, the Blessed One, a title solely proper and peculiar to him, yet he delights to hear the amen of his saints, his creatures, resounding thereto, that is, our so be it. God condescends to receive your words of praise. God condescends to rejoice in your blessings of him. He condescends to be satisfied in your heartfelt worship, your heartfelt praise. Brothers and sisters, our hearts need to be moved by knowledge of these truths like the Apostle Paul, so that we truly understand the benefits we have in the Holy Trinity and are filled with God's fullness. Why do we lack knowledge? Is it due to lack of time? Are you making time for prayer, reading, and meditation? Devotion to God takes time. We cannot be lazy in the Christian life. Do you lack knowledge of God? Is it because of doubts that assail you? I'll say it again. Are you making time for prayer, reading, and meditation? Devotion to God is a spiritual sacrifice. We cannot be lazy in the Christian life. Do you lack knowledge of God because of sin? Repent speedily and return to him, brothers and sisters. We cannot praise God if there is unrepentant sin. This is hypocrisy. Our profession that God is good, our lips that bless God, should have a heart and actions that match. Are we consistently and readily repenting of sin? In verse 4, we see that God chose us in Jesus before the creation of the world to be holy and without blame in his sight. So we bless him with our lives. Is the world assaulting you? Is our culture and society weighing you down and stealing your joy and your persistent, maybe your persistent trials making you depressed? Are Satan's attacks tiresome? Your weaknesses limiting to you? Your doubts present? Your heart cold? We turn away from ourselves and look to him and praise him. We bless Him with our lips. We turn from our attitudes of complaining and grumbling and bitterness and anxieties. We look outward from ourselves to one greater than ourselves. We think upon who He is and all that He has done. We meditate upon Him. We turn from self to praise Him. We turn from thinking about all our perceived needs and bless His name silently, out loud, in private, in public. We bless Him, we praise Him, we speak well of Him, we exalt Him. The Holy Spirit says in Hebrews 13, 14, and 15, "For here we have no continuing city, but we seek the one to come. Therefore, by Him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name." Oh, that God would warm our hearts to these truths, that we would honor Him as God, that we would know Him as God, that we would be filled with all His fullness. And lastly, a few practical considerations. Brothers and sisters, God would have us to bless Him. Perhaps when we hear something good or true, even in the midst of so much sin around us, we can bless God. Perhaps we can say, "Thank you, Lord," a little more throughout the day and week. Or, "Oh Lord, I bless your name. I praise you, Father, for that truth." When we hear something that's true or noble or right or pure or lovely or admirable or excellent or praiseworthy, as it says in Philippians 4:8, that we praise Him. Even if it's a quick praise under our breath or maybe out loud, wouldn't that be a witness to others around us? I suggest that we look for these opportunities to bless His name. Perhaps as we read the word, we bless and thank Him as we read. Perhaps when something goes well, or we say something and the words seem to come out smoothly, we bless His name. Perhaps when we're going through something difficult or unexpected, we bless His name. We bless Him in the easy and the peaceful times, and in the difficult and the tumultuous times. Bless Him at night in your beds. Bless Him in the morning when you awake. Bless Him when your car won't start, or you use your money to buy groceries that God gave you, or when you hear about His attributes. Like these, that God is blessed. He's the source of blessing, and that we're to bless Him. Bless Him always. Isn't He worthy, brothers and sisters? Let's go ahead and pray. Heavenly Father, You are blessed. You don't need us, and yet You bless us, Lord. You're the source of blessing. May You be praised in our lives, Lord. Whatever is going on, Lord, whether it be discouragement or trials or tribulations or sin or doubt, may we bless You. May we turn from ourselves to You, Lord. Thank You for this time, and may You be praised. In Jesus' name we pray.